to set the context to, and to talk about what the law has done in this country from the very beginning. And when I say very beginning, I'm talking 1640. From the first person who was enslaved in this country, who was actually put into slavery by a judge in Virginia. A little bit about employment a moment ago. The one thing that I want to just say about employment is this: one of the few positive signs, one of the few what I consider to be progressive elements of the law that otherwise keeps on focusing on you got to prove intent, you got to prove discrimination. If you don't prove that, it's the way of the world, we're not going to worry about it. There's something in employment law called disparate impact. This was something that was created by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, created back in the era when people were really serious and working on questions about racial discrimination and how to end it in this country. And the Equal Opportunity Commission came to a position which was upheld by the Supreme Court in the 70s. And it said that if an employer is using a test, even if it's neutral on its face, that is, they're not just giving tests to one group of people, they're giving tests to everybody. If they use a test that they can't show has a direct relationship to the job responsibilities of the position that they're trying to fill, and that test has a greater impact, is more harmful for people of color, then that can constitute discrimination, and that test therefore cannot be used. One more thing before we move on to voting. Back in the school segregation situation, when I was talking about the cases that went to the Supreme Court, most particularly a case involving Denver and a case involving Detroit, where different systems were voluntarily, meaning the school board was trying to do it. It wasn't some court telling them to do it. They just thought it was the right thing to do. When the court said, no, de facto discrimination, nobody did anything wrong there. Therefore, there can't be any court ordering anybody to do anything. The mistake is, I believe, a very obvious one, which is, I don't think there is such a thing as de facto discrimination in this country. I mean, de facto segregation in this country, because though it's true that people want to live with people that they want to live with, it ignores the tremendous amount of evidence that the way in which people ended up living where they lived, particularly in places like Detroit, was because of all of the forces that were in play. When people were moving from the South, the Great Migration from the South to the North, looking for jobs, there were a variety of legal tools. There were restrictive covenants, things which made it impossible for someone to sell their home to someone of color. It says it right in the legal document, and a court would enforce it. There was redlining. The FHA and the VA got federal money to underwrite and what they call guarantee mortgages. And so they would decide, they would say to the bank, you can give this mortgage, we'll guarantee it. But there are what's called redlining. There would be the people in Washington who would take red pencils and draw circles around certain neighborhoods and say, this is a, quote, impacted neighborhood. We're not going to guarantee any loans in that neighborhood. There were a variety of, and there were places in which people were just, where demonstrations turned violent and people were injured and killed trying to move into the neighborhoods they wanted to live in. All by way of saying, the Supreme Court just decided to ignore that information. I don't know how well the cases were litigated. I don't know if that information was put into the record. But in any event, it doesn't show up in the opinion. The Supreme Court says, if you can't prove intent to discriminate, it's not a problem that the court or the legal system has any authority to fix. So let's go to voting. People probably know that for a very long time in this country, if someone had a felony conviction, they lost the right to vote. There were lots of other things. They couldn't sit on a jury. They couldn't run for public office, but they lost the right to vote. Plus, there's a long history in this country of gerrymandering. That is, deciding on the groupings, how you draw on maps the boundaries of different districts. Well, in the last about 10 years, with the ability to use computer technology that is now available, and some very smart people who know how to do this stuff very well, the gerrymandering stuff has become just completely unbelievable in terms of the precision with which they can draw maps that favor one party or another. The big story, however, the more important story, is what the Supreme Court did. 2013, a case goes up to the Supreme Court. It had to do with preclearance approval. Now, one of the big laws that got passed in the 60s, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and the amendment that eliminated poll taxes, changed dramatically. I mean, it was thought to be the most effective civil rights law that was enacted. Voter registration and voter turnout in the South rose dramatically. One of the sections of the law that worked very well was what's called preclearance approval. What that means is that in cities, counties, or states where there had been proven, where discrimination, a history and pattern of discrimination had been proven, those communities, and this was all computed by a formula that's contained in the statute and reapproved by Congress every 10 years. There was a requirement that if those communities were going to change their voting systems, they had to get approval. They either had to go to a local court and have a hearing and get a court order, or they had to go to the Justice Department and get the Justice Department to review their plan and agree that it wouldn't disenfranchise any minority group. In 2013, the Supreme Court said, we don't really need that anymore. This country's changed. It's unfair to the South. And it ruled it unconstitutional. One of the justices, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in her dissent said, throwing out preclearance when it has worked and is continuing to work to stop discriminatory changes is like throwing away your umbrella in a rainstorm because you're not getting wet. Clever line. Didn't change anybody's opinion, and the Voting Rights Act was gutted. The next day, legislatures all around the country started introducing bills and expediting them through to limit people's accessibility to voting. This is something that's being litigated all over the place, back and forth. We don't know what's going to happen. There is one case arising out of North Carolina that's going up to the Supreme Court, now it's going to go back to North Carolina, in which the judge found that the changes in the North Carolina voting rules were almost surgically targeted to disenfranchise African Americans. And what are those things? And they're the things that are being argued about all over. ID requirements, government-issued photo IDs, registration purges if a person doesn't vote for X number of elections, they can be cleared, their registration can be thrown away. They are changing the locations, the polling places. They're changing, limiting the hours. They're ending things like early voting. They're ending things like same day registration. All the things that had been moving in the direction of increasing opportunities for people to vote have been and are continuing to be eliminated or curbed back. In just the last couple of months, the Supreme Court has heard a number of cases in this area. It has, thrown the North Carolina case, in which the judge said targeted with almost surgical precision, has thrown that case back to the lower courts to think about it more, says the court. In a case arising out of Texas, which the court had found it's been litigated back and forth for years and years, an explicit attempt to disenfranchise Hispanic voters. And the Supreme Court said, we just don't agree. In another case, the problem that the court has in this instance isn't just with racial gerrymandering, also with political gerrymandering. They had two cases this year, one from Maryland and one from Wisconsin, where they could have, and people thought they were gonna, figure out, and it's not easy, but figure out a way of saying, okay, we understand it's a spoil system, and if one party wins in that state, they get to have more control over the drawing of the maps than the other. But there is a point beyond which it undercuts the constitutional principle of one person, one vote. And we're going to say that it has to fit within these boundaries, sort of like reasonableness. And the court swung and missed and said, we don't know what to do with this, and sent it back.
The